Blog Talk Radio.
Talk. My name is Jason McKean. This is a show about accessing your inner wizard and aligning yourself to the magic of creation and moving forward in your life. Welcome, welcome, and welcome to Wizard Talk. I am excited today. Not that I'm not excited every day, but I am excited today because I get to go back to the teepee in Agora, and we do a teepee experience tonight, myself and Pamela Robbins, who is the creator of the House of Two Spirits. That is the name of her teepee. It's like a 20-person teepee, and we have a sold-out event tonight where the theme is on a healing, rejuvenation, and the event is the wizard and his tarot in a teepee. And it's an event that is a lot of high energy there. It's like, you know, people are, they look forward to it because, you know, for one, it's like they get to go into a teepee that's just, it has its own energy. I call it the cone of power because it's just this really beautiful space. And when the sun goes down and the crickets and the owls and the coyotes, they start playing and doing their thing out in wilderness. It is magical, you know, just to be that close to nature and to also, you know, utilize a space where you know these 20 people are able to get in sync with each other and within their own purpose and start to move about in that energy. And you know, it's an honor. It is an honor for me to be able to facilitate that space for the 3 hours, and Pamela, she does a sound healing that just cements everything. It just integrates all this great wisdom that goes out, and these experiences that people go through, the story of their lives, and how they're just open with it, and just, you know, share, and I just love it. So I'm looking very forward to it. And so that's this evening. And so once I get off the radio here, I will be heading out towards that area, towards Agora. And the next one will probably be in November or so. And you know, because I just committed yesterday, in fact, to work at the Queen Mary during the haunt. They're Dark Harbor, and I know it sounds weird that the wizard is working Dark Harbor, but there's an energy there of the camaraderie, the people that you meet. That's a magical place too. I mean, I love the ship. The ship is just it's just rich, and it's just rife with energy that's, you know, both ancient. It was built like 80 years ago. I guess that's ancient, although I'm like 50. It's like, better be careful how you explain, you know, things that are, you know, certainly old, but, you know, it's a piece of history, but it's a wonderful, not relic, It's, you know, because it's in use. It's used as a hotel and meeting spaces and fun things like Dark Harbor. And it is fun, you know, to kind of play with that energy, you know, of, you know, people like to be scared. They like to go to horror films. They like, you know, sometimes these darker moments, and especially in the fall. There's something about the fall where everything's, you know, kind of dying, you know. It's like it's beautiful, you know, and the leaves turn red and orange and yellow, but basically, you know, the green is dying, and you know, maybe we as humans just kind of get in sync with that and look to reflect that as well, to prepare ourselves for the winter and the hard and the cold and the ice and the snow. And I don't know what I'm talking about because I live in Southern California now, and I haven't seen ice and snow in years. I did live in Alaska as a boy, as a teenager. So I it's not that I've never seen it, and it's probably why I live in Southern California. In fact, I know it is. Other than that, you know, other than, you know, just the great fun that we have down here in SoCal. So what was I talking about? Oh, you know, I'll just move on. My website, Jason D. McKean, JasonDMckean.com. Go there and see my tarot reading schedule in Los Angeles. And I have classes at the Vortex Monday and Thursday. Teach meditation and tarot. And looking, what else do I have coming up? Not sure. Not sure. I've always got stuff cooking, and stuff will pop up. And then my Om Chant CDs, which are played worldwide. They are available through the website, also through iTunes, Amazon, all those good places. All right. This week, this idea of energy and you know, what is the energy of, you know, and then throwing out a concept, whether it's timing or trust or wrote down also like a religious conversion. You know, what's the energy behind that? It's like, can the cards, can they detect that? Do they have anything to say about that? You know, I believe that I'm open anyway to looking at it and to see if there is anything. I trust the cards. I trust that they would have a layer of insight. And you know, if you get down to the truth of life, of existence, you know, all things are energy, right? It's like, you know, we are living beings and we're energetic beings. And there's a lot of areas within ourselves that have these energetic, what are they, like, centers? We could call them centers. And you know, certainly there's things that like the chakras and all that people look at as centers, and it helps to like look at ourselves that way. You know, in the tarot, it's like the energetic centers are mind, body, emotions, and spirit. You know, that which is represented by the wands, the cups, the swords, and the pentacles. And I feel that you know, as a reader, you know, especially when you're looking at energy and looking to see where your querent, the person with the query, the client, the customer, the person sitting across from you or on the other end of the phone, you know, they have energy too. And I like to see where they're coming from. You know, if they're coming from a centered place, if they're coming from a place that needs to be shored up in certain centers, energetic centers within themselves. You know, is this the only way that one can read tarot? It's like, no. No, but because of my background in metaphysics, of being around metaphysics for 30 years, and listening to a lot of teachers and practitioners, and and being a practitioner of my own, it's like one works in an area that they are familiar with, that they're in sync with. I almost was going to say comfortable, but comfort is something that we always look to stretch, and this is part of it. This exercise in looking at these conceptual topics so that we can learn and grow. Growing is not being comfortable. If you want to remain comfortable, it's like you go and hide out, and you stick around the same friends and family members that make you feel comfortable. But if you're willing to expand and grow and to open up new social circles and business associates and circles, it's like being able to be in that energy. It's like it requires discomfort, where question marks come into place, and it's like living with that energy. So let's begin. Let's begin. I'm just shuffling the cards here of my deck of 78 Wizard Tarot cards. And it's not a hard shuffle, just a soft shuffle there. That was the sound of me like whacking the cards, clearing them. But I usually read in threes, just pull three cards. Let's take a look at let's take a look at an easy one first. Say easy, right? Looking at the energy, what is the energy of being happy? Being happy, happy, happy. It's like if I was like going through the deck, I could pull cards like the Sun card or the Nine of Cups or the Ten of Cups or something that reflects happy. But the energy of it, the energy, because it's also I think that instead of looking us at as nouns, as like a person, we are a being. We're like a verb too. We are in the process of being and creating ourselves, co-creating ourselves, depending on how you want to look at it. I see it as, with all this energy out there, this big stew of energy, it's like, we're one piece of it, one part of that stew, one ingredient. And, we do our part in moving forward and creating that life in which we're in sync with. But there are other forces, above and below us that have their say too, and that affect us. And it's like I feel that we can do our best in our life to kind of choose our way forward or move in a direction anyway. But sometimes there are detours. Sometimes you're on that road going to a destination, and the universe has put up a roadblock, and you've got to like, oh, okay, I got to like rethink this. I got to like take a detour. So there are other influences out there, and if we're flexible, but firm, it's like we still know where it is that we're headed, that we're not just so pliable that it's just like, okay, whatever. We'll just like head in some, other direction. It's like I've never been that way. I've always had my goals. Not that they've always panned out like I have wanted them to, but I've been pleasantly surprised along the way. All right, I'm gonna stop talking about that. And the cards that come up. Let's look at that. of being happy. And again, that's kind of more in that verbish area where one is in, it's like the art form of being happy, of being in a happy place. The Nine of Wands comes up, and the Nine of Wands is a card of standing your ground, being in a place of where you have known your battles, you know which battles you have fought before you, and you're not going backwards in life. It's like an ingredient, I guess, of being happy, is to know that you're moving towards something, and that you're not repeating patterns that you've already gone through, maybe ones that you know you weren't fulfilled by them. And so standing your ground, knowing where you've been, and basically what you're headed towards, and allowing for that energy to keep you moving forward. You know, is that a serious energy? I think so. I think so. Does one equate that with being happy? You know, is there an easy flow to being happy? Or, you know, is it a hard-fought battle to be happy, to fight for one's happiness? Do you have to fight for your happiness? Maybe. Maybe. The Eight of Pentacles also rears its head there in this this question about being happy, and for me that is also a very active card, one of being in a flow of enjoying their work, in the area of career. I see it as a card of where it's like the difference between a job and a career, where in a job, it's like, you keep looking at your clock, your watch, or your phone, saying, is it 5 o'clock yet? Is it 5 o'clock? Is it time to go yet? Whereas a career, something that you're invested in, it's like, oh my God, it's 5 o'clock. Where did the time go? I was just so in the flow of it. I was just so enjoying it. And so I see it in that greater context of being in this flow in your life, where you're totally invested in it, and the time just passes without you keeping track. You just dive in, and you're in that present stream of activity, and you're just in a deep place within it. You know, this card, this third card, it's quite deep, because the Lover's card, and again, looking at the energy of being happy, and with the Lover's card, that signifies that we're not alone in the world, that we seek companions, relationships, and I think a common thread throughout our humanity is that we look for partners, that we look to find others who are either of a like mind, or like people that we want to have deeper relationships with, whether they're sexual relationships or more intimate or career minded. Not all relationships are equal in that way. And I think there is, we're encoded to seek out others. You know, it seems odd sometimes when we come across people who are just like, no, I don't need anyone in my life. No. You know, it's like we wonder kind of what's going on there. You know, if like they've been so hurt or, you know, almost like it's a problem. And, you know, is it key to our happiness, to being happy, to you know, have these relationships that we have? So the idea of the Lover's card, you know, it's like the energy behind it is where, you know, one has one knows who they are in a relationship, like the individual. You know who you are in your relationships, and you know that you don't have any control over someone else. It's like they bring who they are to the relationship. And this is with all of our relationships. It's like, you know, we have the awareness of what it is that we bring to it, and if we're bringing the goods to it, and also looking at our needs. You know, if the person that we're in relationship with, if they're fulfilling those needs, and it, you know, it's like if we're looking at our own happiness, then, you know, do we address those needs? Do we bring it up in conversation? You know, if it's a partner, a mate, you know, it's like bringing up the areas of where, you know, we feel that we're being let down. You know, sometimes it's in an intimacy or communication way. Sometimes it's a sexual thing. You know, if it's an employer, you know, it's like, are we getting paid enough, right, for the work that we do? And are we giving voice to that part of our relationship with them? You know, if it's you know, someone who's in a line, or someone who you're sitting next to watching a movie and they're like crumpling their their snack paper, plastic paper, whatever, you know, during the quiet parts of the movie, you know, and you're just like going, shh, shut. You know, it's like, oh my God, that happened not too far back. And that was, it's like how you pay like, what, $30 or something like that to get into a movie these days, and I couldn't believe, like, you know, it's like, yeah, a big tub of popcorn and a couple of drinks, it's like $17. It's like, what? It costs like $14 to get into the movie, and it's like, you're insane. And then to have, you know, someone like either talking, whispering, or rumpling their candy wrapper or whatever. It's just like, anyway, I think you get the point that does not happiness make. So, you know, being able to give voice, to communicate, to know your part in the relationship, and if there's, you know, some form of where, you know, you need to you know, let someone else know what it is that you're missing in it, to give voice to that, to bring them in on it. You know, that vulnerability leads to a deeper intimacy. You know, it's like, you know, chances are that they can, you know, respond in a positive way, but that's not always guaranteed. But you know, being happy, it's not a what I'm seeing from the cards here, that it's not a constant state. It's one that one can work towards and find themselves in when they're in that flow. But there's also, there's battles. There's like these areas of where, we need to step up to fight for ourselves in that and with other people. All right. That's pretty interesting. And that was the easy one. It's like what's a hard one here? Because I wrote down like the energy of a religious conversion. I don't know why that came up, but it's fascinating, when someone goes through a almost a structural change there within themselves. Is it just a religious conversion, or is it like a something in their minds where they switch from one faith to another, but it's just like switching out the interior as opposed to like the full exterior where are you just changing the drapes and the furniture, or are you like going in and tearing down the house and rebuilding the structure of it? I don't know. That's why we're looking. That's why we're looking. Just to see what the energy is of a religious conversion. All right, I'm choosing three cards. And I choose these cards by random. I'm not knowing what the cards are there. First card. Interesting. The Queen of Cups. The Queen of Cups comes up. And that's a card. I describe it as one of the most sensitive cards in the deck. There's deep sensitivity with the Queen of Cups. And with that card, it's like there is a desire to connect with others, to share one's creative energy, one's healing energy, one's spiritual energy with others. And that sensitivity, it can be a double-edged sword in that, if one is like criticized, or if one is not finding, the right situation, it's like there's a chance that they kind of withdraw a bit and kind of go into their own world. And so I'm looking again at the energy of why someone might go into a conversion. It may be just finding their community. If it's something that, if they grew up in a certain faith, growing up, and it didn't quite gel with them, if they never got fully in sync with it or the people in it, it's like, maybe they just kind of pulled away from it and looked to find something that was more in sync. And was there a harshness that kind of cracked that sensitivity? That's possible. That's possible. But let's see what some of the other cards have to say. The Star card comes up. The Star card, the card of hope, of inspiration, like moving towards something that is like a new star to steer your life by. All right, that's like the Star card has like a lot to say about the direction of our life and allowing for that which is outside of ourself to be that guiding star. It's like in the Wizard's Tarot, there's a equipment that sailors used to use, like the sextant and the compass and all, you know, where they measure the stars, because that's all they had really to guide them out on the open water. And to be able to use those external reference points to get someone to, you know, where it is that they're going. I'm looking at you know, both of these individuals, both the Queen of Cups and the Star, the woman who's represented in the Star, they're both kind of in their own world a bit, as far as they're both looking in the same direction. They're both kind of looking down at the like the Star card is looking at a chart there, kind of looking at the text. They're students, and it's like they're you know, absorbed. They're absorbed in the material. It feels like you know, with any kind of conversion, any type of where someone is kind of drawn towards a new direction and all, it's like there's a whole new lexicon or a language or a just a specific area of interest that one has to dive into and become familiar with. And it looks like that certainly is the case there. It's very interesting. Very interesting. The Emperor shows up. All very strong cards, you know, and just showing like a personal you know, like with the Star and the Queen of Cups, like a deep pull, you know, to go in that direction. And then the Emperor, you know, is a card of the Builder, of the, I mean, it's the divine, you know, father figure too. That's interesting. You know, depending on if there's a strong like leader, or you know, like if it's a religion, right? I mean, there's a lot of like strong male figures in most of like the Abrahamic religions, certainly, but there can also be in specific churches or spiritual centers where there's a strong-minded individual, you know, who's running the show, and sometimes that person is what, you know, kind of holds someone's attention, or just holds them there. You know, and I don't look at it as necessarily like where it has to be like a kind of a cult minded thing or whatever. It's just like it looks like, you know, with these strong cards too, it's like there is a need maybe on someone's part to have that strong sense of direction, or that strong sense of where they're protected, you know, and again, that can come from a place of, you know, perceived weakness, you know, if someone has fallen prey to addiction, or you know, just something within themselves that they don't feel is strong enough to take on their own, as far as like, you know, maybe that's behind you know, why a person goes through a religious conversion. Very, very interesting cards. Very interesting cards. I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna move on to you know, what is the energy of timing? Of timing. And timing is, you know, something that is, I think that with the tarot and all, it's one of the trickier things to pinpoint. But, you know, we see it all around us as far as in nature. It's like if you plant a seed, you know, it takes time for that seed to start to start to grow and to expand and you know, bust out of its little shell there and start crawling in through the dirt and coming out towards the sun. And, you know, if it's a flower, it takes time for that flower to bloom. If it's, you know, like food, like squash or, you know, just anything, it's like it takes time to grow that. And, you know, with us as humans, you know, we are subject to that as well. It's like we're not born being, you know, ready to communicate and drive and, you know, go out into the workforce and all. You know, we have to wait until we're at least 30 years old before we can move out of our parents' basement and go out into the world. No, that was a joke. For those of you, you know, who are like 18 and stuff, it's like I moved out when I was 18. You know, I couldn't wait to get out into the world and you know, start working and playing music and doing all these things. And my parents were upset. It's like, Mutti, if you're listening, it's like it's nothing personal. I just wanted to get out into the world and to experience life. And you know, that's something that too is a product of timing. And so I just want to look, see what the energy, again, we're looking at the you know, what is the energy of timing. And I'll choose three random cards. Music. Timing is essential. You know, something unfolds over time. If you can look at a CD, right, and it has all the music there. Not that you hear it all at once. If you heard something all at once, it's like it would just be just a noise. But if you allow for something to unfold, then it tells its own story, has its own movement. And our life can be like that too. That's really interesting. Because the Emperor card comes up again. In the area of timing, you know, it's like there's a Hebrew symbol on the Emperor card, which is tzadi, the fish hook, you know, that which produces. And the Emperor, it's a card of like building structure. It's like the Emperor builds a house, the Empress makes it a home. And so that idea of structure, you know, and you know, is time. If we look at our clocks, like an old style clock, because the new digital clocks, they don't give us like a fuller picture. You know, they're just a set of numbers on there, rather than looking at that circle that has like the sections to it. You know, like the pie slices there. And that's like, you know, the looking at the structure of it, and then how we fill up that time, you know, that's on us. That is on us, how we, you know, fill those hours of the day. And, are we encoded to have these like stages in our own being, where those are kind of the noticeable stages, as a human, it's like you start out as a baby, and then you start growing into a kid, and then you become like a teenager, go through puberty, and then you become a young adult, and then, it's in our civilization anyway, we have these stages of that allow for us to kind of see our progress and to acknowledge our progress. And yet, are we all the same? It's like, no. It's like I know many people, many kids who had different childhoods. Some were pretty harsh. They were much harder. Some seemed like a lot easier. And the same as a teenager. It's like I know kids. Who died. And all weren't able to fulfill, their potential. And timing, it seems to be, a thing that's, maybe that's how we perceive it as far as kind of a structure. But it's how we, come to manifest our potential. I mean, that's the Emperor card. That idea that we take that which is inside of us, and we manifest it. We put it out into the world. The second card, the Ace of Cups, comes up. That's a really interesting card. As far as timing, it signifies like the autumn. And the aces are pretty key in signifying like a time of year, again, where it's like that cycle is split up into like four pieces of the pie in our minds anyway, and the Ace of Cups in the Wizard's Tarot, there's a mermaid, and she's diving from that cup. She's diving into this beautiful autumn pond, and it's one of where one allows himself to fully invest in something, and it's like the that initiating leap. It's in love. It's like where one is just they find themselves in a certain environment, and then they turn around, and then there's like someone that they fall in love with, for friends and all. It's like meeting someone maybe at a party or just anywhere, and at work, and it's just like an instant connection, an instantaneous connection, one where you dive in. And that feels like sometimes like you've known someone forever. It's like it's like almost like timing or time, what is not a thing of having to know someone. And in the larger scope of things, maybe it's just the right person at the right time who comes in, and it's just like boom, it's like, God, where have you been? And it makes for a more even flow. Third card, the sun card. He's got like this sundial there in his hands, and it like represents the Sabbats there. you know, like the more of the you know, the solar holidays that are usually on the equinox and the solstices, and then there's some in between there. And that's, you know, how we again kind of divide time up and measure it. You know, it looks like, you know, part of what the cards are indicating, especially with the Emperor and the Sun, it's like the structure of time, how we set it up, how we divide the larger you know, movements as far as like the like especially with the day, you know, and then the seasons. And being able to you know, feel like we're in a certain cycle. But are we utilizing, you know, that time? Are we getting too wrapped up in how we pass time and forgetting the quality of time? Of you know, I think of people that I work with at Dark Harbor who kind of live for Halloween, maybe a little too much. And you know, are they able to enjoy like the rest of the year? And I think that, you know, it's important to be able to you know, recognize kind of all of the year, and not get so like just fixated on certain seasons or you know, a certain time of year that you really get in sync with, but to open up to that. And I think that Ace of Cups is there as a reminder to be able to you know that at any moment you can invest and enjoy the time that's right now, and feel a deep connection in there. I'm going to quickly go through one more. And that's the area of you know, what's the energy of finding serious people, or the quality of you know, looking at serious people, and that would be in that realm of love, of career. Or, you know, any other areas of your life, but you know, those are pretty important ones. But you know, like finding people that one can work with, that you know, as partners for you know, moving your agenda forward. You know, what is the energy behind that, and serious people. All right. This too is like interesting. The Nine of Wands comes up. That's the second time that card has come up. But it's good because it allows for, you know, other meanings to surface as far as in regards to the area being explored. And you know, again, the Nine of Wands is a card of knowing the battles that you have fought, and you don't want to go backwards in life. It's about knowing the people that you have worked with, or you know, knowing that you're not looking to mess around, right? You're not looking to you know, do a bunch of work for nothing. That you're serious. And being able to communicate that with another person too, so that they're not going to be there to waste your time. It's interesting that that one comes up again. Another nine comes up, the nine of swords, the card of anxiety, of fear, our mental activities get the better of us. You know, it's like getting on the hamster wheel inside our head, and it's just like, well, what if this, and you know, what if that, and all. And I would say if someone is, brings that energy, if they activate it within you, or you're concerned about them, or you're worried about them, it's like they're probably not the right person. You know, if they're creating too much anxiety and worry about their performance or how you're getting along with them, it's like, don't do it. Don't get involved. You know, it's like, look at how it is that they're affecting you, and you know, also this nine of wands energy. You know, it's like, you know, do you want to move forward, or do you want to just kind of keep repeating patterns of working with people who don't cut the mustard, who are not quite up to the task of getting it done. And then finally the third card, the Queen of Wands. The Queen of Wands, a card of one's spirit there. And the Queen of Wands is the keeper of the flame, the keeper of the vision, the person who is responsible for making sure that they are in sync with their own purpose and motivated, and you know, in the area of, again, you know, looking at serious people, it's like, you know, knowing if someone is in sync with your own spirit. And if they're not, then it's about, not investing into the full, way forward. It's about where you're like going, you're not wanting to just go through the motions of it. It's like you're looking for a very serious connection. And if they are not in sync with your own spirit, then you have to cut them loose. You know, that is that card. The queens, they can be very intense cards because, they represent like the inner part of us. And, you know, who knows us better than our own inner being, right? I mean, that's what we work on, right? When we go into our meditative self, when we go into places of our own awareness, you know, this is all about looking at ourself and being truthful with ourself, not deluding ourselves. And, you know, it's like when we temper that place with that fire, with that heat, you know, it's that inner crucible. Because what's important to us is sustaining our overall purpose, you know, as an individual, that we're in sync, you know, within ourself. And when that is our center, when that's our core, then everything else falls into place from that. You know, the people that we choose to be around. You know, the work that we do in the world. That's our responsibility to ourself, is to be in sync with our spirit. Everything else falls from that. All right. Tonight, I am at the teepee. I am in Agora. And the event is it's sold out already, which is it's a good thing. But for those of you listening, it's like you can't sign up. I'm sorry. But we will have more, and I'll advertise those on the social medias. My website, Jason D. McKean, JasonDMckean.com. Under the contact areas, you can go and find the Facebook, the Instagram, Twitter, all those links, you know, to all these social medias. And, you know, I'll be honest, my preference is Facebook and Instagram right now. Twitter, not so much. It just seems pretty convoluted. And I haven't done many of the others. So those two are good places to contact me. And then the other part of my website is my Om Chant CDs. And again, these are chants that are played in yoga studios throughout the world, meditation halls, in hospices, birthing centers, and also tonight I'll play it in the teepee, so one can enjoy that while the readings are going on. All right, many blessings, and I will be back next week, trying to rustle up some guests there, some different types of guests, and but I will be back. And so thank you for listening to Wizard Talk, and many blessings for this coming week.